Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. I've noticed, Tony, I'm calling you a gentleman and also calling you a gentleman, Eddie. I want you to notice that. For all our wonderful listeners out there, we put together a really great show this week for you. I have to say one thing. It was kind of easy this week, and the reason it was kind of easy is because every day going all the way back to last Monday, there has been incredibly fascinating information going on, the kind of information that somebody will make a movie about, and it will be a good one. There's no question about that. I would have to say, as I told Jimmy this morning when we were talking off mic, that I believe that the pendulum is beginning to swing back the other way in our favor. I think justice will prevail. I had some doubts about that a couple weeks ago, but I think we're going to prove to you that my doubts and Jimmy's doubts, serious doubts on his part, are going to prove to be to no avail, for lack of better terms. Jimmy, comments on what's going on. Is the pendulum going the other way?
Well, I think the beginning of a swing is happening. We don't know how far it'll go. I have been very, obviously, according to the show and what we've talked about, very negative on things that are happening. But I've always been positive that eventually in America, with free speech, with an open system, that we will prevail with some semblance of moving towards integrity again. What I think is happening now is obviously there's political maneuvering on all sides. There always is. But there's a level of transparency of what's happened with the Biden administration, what's happened with Joe Biden and his family, what's happening with the influence of law enforcement that is beginning to be pried open. And the media is now beginning to report on issues that previously they would have either covered up or hided, or have specifically covered up or hided in the past.
Jimmy, I think what's really interesting is, I'm a firm believer in the adage that, dramatic news sells newspapers. There's no question about that. And what's coming on right now, if in fact it gets put together accurately, one of the most violent negative actions that has happened in the history of my studying politics anyway, is the fact that a sitting president may very well have taken the office and to simply enrich his entire family and circle. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it is possible that he had that in his mind. I don't know if he had it as much in his mind as, because I don't know if there's much in his mind at all anyway.
Yeah.
But certainly his brother James and his son Hunter, and I would say his wife Jill, all were looking at that golden goose of the presidency.
Right.
But I think it's even a bigger issue. The Democrats have to protect their people, and there's so much corruption going on, and through the Obama administration with the Bidens, and of course, the deep state with the FBI and the DOJ covering up for Hillary Clinton. All these efforts are required by the DNC in order to protect this group of what I'll say very corrupt leaders.
You bet.
That if found out, the American people will say, what's going on at all? How could we ever trust the Democratic Party? So they must maintain power. And when they have to maintain power, they have to put absolutely powerful efforts into doing that. That means using all the resources they can, making accusations, throwing out legal attacks in order to continue to take control, and up to and even beyond cheating in elections and using law enforcement to intimidate and silence people, as well as using government efforts to censor. That's what we've seen happening. It's become very clear that the government and the Biden administration has used tremendous efforts to do that. And of course, that facade is beginning to break because, as you say, businesses, especially in the news business, they want to sell news. They have not been doing very well in the last 2 years since Trump left office. And now you've got stories like the IRS whistleblower, like the FBI, I'm sorry, the CIA coordinating this letter to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story for just prior to the election and just prior to the debate. You're seeing these efforts come to fruition, and those media outlets are actually having to report them. And of course, if they do report them, the CBSs, the NBCs, the ABCs, a lot more people see behind the curtain and realize that they've been hoodwinked for years, and the corruption is so deep they're going to have to do something about it. So there is a possibility it's moving in the right direction, and a lot of it is just trying to sell more papers and to stay involved.
Well, I think I think to an extent, Jim, you're absolutely 100% right. And that's sad. That's a sad comment on the press, which is really actually very, very important to the citizens of the United States. But it's got to be an accurate press. And I really, really hope that that's one of the things that will come out of this. You know, some of the people are going to have to eat a little bit of crow, but I think they may be willing to do it because I think Americans are basically good people. And for the sake of the country, I think a lot of the folks who have really erred up to this point are going to say, you know, we were very definitely hoodwinked. There's no question about that. I got a couple of other things I want to chat about, Jim, and that is, what effect is all of this going to have on some of the other potential candidates? But let's save that for maybe a later segment. Any other comments, Jim, from you on the pendulum?
Yeah, I think we need to explore this entire accusation by the IRS whistleblower. Now, his attorney came out and was actually on quite a number of the news stations, on Fox News, on CBS, on NBC. Looks like it was a well-coordinated effort in order to prepare the battlefield, if you will, for this whistleblower's complaint. And let's compare it back to the Eric Chiarmella, the whistleblower, at least the alleged whistleblower for the Ukraine phone call impeachment hearings. That was a contrived impeachment effort.
Yeah,
they protected, and of course, Adam Schiff as the House Intelligence Committee chairman and Eric Swalwell on that team, they protected the whistleblower significantly. It's going to be very hard for the Democrats to somehow flip the script and try to out or undermine and discredit this whistleblower when apparently, according to his lawyer, has a significant level of documentation that the IRS has stalled with coordination of the White House and the Department of Justice, the investigation on tax violations for the Hunter or for the Biden family, yeah. Hunter Biden in particular. With that situation and this whistleblower, the media has set themselves up to have to report on it because of the previous impeachment trial. That puts the White House in a very difficult position. And remember, the primary senior target that this whistleblower is talking about is actually the Attorney General Merrick Garland, using his testimony before Congress to undermine the investigation and actually mislead Congress, which is a felony and could be very difficult for a Garland to overcome, especially with all the other issues, attacking churches, not protecting the Supreme Court justices, yep. And of course, the failure to prosecute people that were doing violent acts around the United States while simultaneously hitting others. So it's an interesting dilemma.
It's very interesting. Got to take a break here. Time for a commercial, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy and I'll be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome on. We're going to talk a little bit more about Merrick Garland, just to wrap up where we were at the end of the last segment. Jimmy, take it.
Yeah, so Merrick Garland has put the White House in a very difficult position. The information that's coming out from this IRS whistleblower's lawyer is that he has significant documentation where the Department of Justice and Garland has actually influenced or stalled the investigation over Hunter Biden's and the Biden family finances on tax evasion.
Yeah.
And of course, this is after Garland had testified before Congress that he had the U.S. attorney, David Weiss in Delaware, had full authority to prosecute and go forward. So this is a very interesting dilemma for the White House, and it comes on the heels of numerous issues that the Garland's Department of Justice have had targeting or either protecting their political allies or targeting their political enemies.
Yeah, what I'm curious about, Jim, is, you know, we've got what I would say is probably three very strong candidates out there, and I'm wondering how all of this is going to affect them. And by those candidates, the three of them, one Democrat, that's obviously Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a couple of Repubs. Number one, Ron DeSantis is not doing badly, but he sure has not even come close to overtaking Donald J.
Yeah, so I think when you look at the Republican race, it's very clear that Donald Trump has a significant advantage. And of course, as the Democrats have targeted him with justice, with lawfare, if you will, he's actually increased his favorability. His numbers are higher. Some people would say, oh, because Democrats want him to be the candidate. I would argue that nobody wants him to have that much power on the Democratic side. They don't want Trump to have that much power and influence going into it because Biden's in a very precarious position. And Biden is in a very precarious position because his administration has gone so far to the progressive left that it's left a door open for moderate, conservative, classical, liberal Democrat Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to come into the fold in his primary announcement and actually have a reasonable size of support at the very onset that will probably, I predict, will likely grow over time.
Jimmy, you're saying it will likely grow over time, but let me ask you this question. Do you think the Democrats will almost immediately accept Robert F. Kennedy? I really kind of wonder, in spite of what, you know, his stance on the various COVID drugs, for lack of better terms, I'm really not sure that they'll accept him immediately. I think in that particular primary race, that will be the turning point.
Well, so he has been known for his very outspoken comments about vaccine safety.
Yeah.
And Big Pharma's influence, but his real campaign is based on the Democratic Party now becoming controlled by corporate interests, taking away the interests of the actual people, and pushing so far to a progressive left agenda that they've left behind a large number of more moderate Democrats. So that's his campaign strategy. I think it's going to probably – the reason why I think it will grow is because over time, as you get more information from investigations right now in Congress on what happened with COVID and the government response, there is a large amount of data coming out that the vaccinations were dangerous, as he had said from the beginning. There's a large amount of information coming out on how much influence the pharmaceutical companies had over government agencies. And you're seeing that many government agents and representatives that were trusted at one point are now being proven false in their statements. And of course, Anthony Fauci is one of the premier entities that's beginning to look pretty bad. So that gives him an advantage over time, and it splits a very different group of, you know, old school classical liberal conservatives, or I'm sorry, classical liberal Democrats that want that want change from this transgender ideology, from this women in or men, transgender men in women's sports. There's a big divide within the Democratic Party that has been protected by the media and the press. Robert F. Kennedy throws a big bomb out there and forces Democrats to look at things differently than they did. And that's going to be very dangerous to Joe Biden.
Yeah, it's going to be dangerous to Biden. There's no question about that. But I really have to wonder, unless we have a very dramatic event that comes up between now and, I would have to say, the primaries, and that very dramatic event is very possible, and that it could come in the identity of the Biden family being proven without a shadow of a doubt, has really taken an awful lot of money as a, oh, for lack of better terms, as a benefit of the leader of the family, Joe Biden. Not a very good leader. I think a lot of people in the Biden family have at his suggestion said, I want to cut you guys all in on this. You know, they may have had a big dinner one night or what have you. But it wouldn't surprise me a bit if that were the case. And that would obviously put Robert F. Kennedy, I think, in a very strong position. I'm not sure what to say it would do about DeSantis or Trump. I don't know that Robert F. Kennedy could beat one of those two guys. But I guess we may see. Jimmy, you're on.
Yeah, I think that Joe Biden right now is in a difficult position. Joe Biden's been in a difficult position for a long period of time. His cognitive abilities are very low. His decision making is very low. And of course, the people that are managing his White House right now are pushing in directions that are very much against what the population wants. Yeah. So they've either got to keep pushing and push harder through the Department of Justice, through regulatory agencies like the EPA or the IRS. But when you have somebody like this whistleblower coming out and showing that they're influencing the Biden administration, the White House, and the Attorney General, law enforcement are influencing decisions based on political objectives, and that is opened up to the public, it becomes very problematic. So Biden, I don't believe, will be able to make it through the primary season. I think the Democrats right now see the numbers on the wall. They see that, in fact, he is not liked, he is not supported, and with more and more information coming out over the next 6 or 8 months, it's going to be very problematic for him to survive. Although, my understanding is, the latest reporting is next Tuesday, he may announce his reelection campaign. If he does that, that even makes the Democratic Party in a more difficult situation where they'll probably split candidate support and allow a very strong Donald Trump right now who has the advantage to go forward.
You know, I think you're right. I think the only thing that could happen is if Biden doesn't do what you say he might do this coming Tuesday, I think that in defense of his potential illegal actions, he will not resign. Jimmy and everybody, will be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Well, Jimmy has noticed, which I was something that I think is a pretty astute on his part, in the sense that now in the presidential election, more and more than ever happened in the past, the entire government seems to be getting into it on Biden's side. I guess in this sense, I would have to say on the candidate side. I don't like that. How about you, Jim?
No, absolutely not. I think it's obviously it was corrupt. They were undermining the sitting president in 2020 while simultaneously uplifting the opponent. And that would, in my view, these nonpartisan positions, especially in law enforcement and the intelligence community, were committing treason. And I think there should be some serious penalties for people that were involved in actions that were acting in a government position of trust that took political and legal actions against illegal legal actions against a sitting president and people in office that really has been to the tremendous detriment of the country.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think maybe the Democrats have gotten to the point where they can do almost anything, and the proof that they have done something has to be way beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I think that's going to happen, possibly, with the Biden family. What do you think?
Yeah, I do think that there's the Bidens are a little bit of a liability right now, as there's more and more information coming out from his campaign.
Yeah.
One of the key elements that we haven't talked a lot about in the first segment we mentioned, but Mike Morrell, who was the CIA director, acting CIA director for a while, he actually was contacted by the current Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. Anthony Blinken at the time was working in the Biden campaign. And of course, Anthony Blinken was a senior advisor, senior member of the Obama administration. Anthony Blinken reached out to Mike Morrell and convinced him to help coordinate the intelligence document from senior 51 former intelligence officials discrediting the New York Post story that was related to the Hunter Biden laptop story from Washington, or from the New York Post, as Russian disinformation. Now, the timing of this is very essential because he contacted Anthony Blinken as a campaign representative, contacted Mike Morrell just a few days before a debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Within a day, Morrell had coordinated this letter from senior, very senior intelligence officials and law enforcement officials in the, you know, former officials in the U.S. government. Then in the debate, just a few days later, Joe Biden referenced that document. And then, of course, the media ran with it, saying that, oh, in fact, 51 senior officials, intelligence officials, say that this has all the hallmarks, I'm paraphrasing here, but all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. Now, this is in spite of the fact that the Department of Justice and the FBI had the laptop for a long period of time and knew that it was factual and the information on it was true. And of course, we've gone years with the FBI and the Department of Justice having that laptop, knowing the information was true and that it was valid, but yet to prosecute or prepare charges for Hunter Biden or Joe Biden. This entire scenario really takes away trust and faith in senior intelligence officials. And of course, these are mostly former Obama officials, but some that had served under the Trump administration, maybe disgruntled under the Trump administration, but were very much involved politically to shape the outcome of election just prior to the November 3rd election in 2020. Significant impact, very damaging information that most polling shows would have cost Joe Biden the election. Now, why it's such a damaging prospect is you have very senior officials operating in the Biden campaign that are now very senior officials in the U.S. government, and they're continuing to try to cover up these instances of influence and shaping politics through government officials. Now, that's going to be, I think, as more and more information comes out, many Americans are going to wake up and say, what's going on? And if they have an alternative, they're going to go to that alternative. So Joe Biden is a risk to the Democratic Party. They don't want to lose control. If they lose control in the next election, they realize they'll have a much more aggressive attorney general, that Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or whoever it is a Republican executive, will not make the same mistakes of hiring somebody like Jeff Sessions, who withdrew himself from the Russian collusion investigation because of some very flimsy evidence from the press. And of course, Bill Barr, who was a deep state operative that was protecting the interests of Washington, not the American people. So that's a huge problem for the Democrats, and they're going to be very desperate to take whatever actions necessary to maintain power, I think, to a level that we have never seen in America before.
Well, if that's true, I think that Biden is going to have to step out somehow. But I think to use the old euphemism to clear his name, I think that something is going to have to be orchestrated, something like him continuing to fall or what have you. Although if the speech on our monetary system didn't do it, there were so many gaps in it, I'm not sure that anything will.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I think a lot of people in America are just fed up and say, yeah, that nothing will ever happen for any of these people, and right. And they may be right. You know, there may be some truth to that. We've seen so much corruption. We've seen so many failures to prosecute corruption. But what happens, you know, when things hit such a, you know, so bad for the American people, and they're not listened to, they usually step up and do something about it. And I'll just go back. I've mentioned it before. It took a couple of decades to New York to fall to complete, you know, absolutely collapse. It was disastrous in the 70s and the right. 80s. And finally, they elected Rudy Giuliani. And he basically cleaned up that city very rapidly.
Yeah.
And as a Republican. And of course, Mike Bloomberg ran as a Republican and won after Giuliani left. And then, of course, he switched colors to, you know, Democrats because things got easy for them. But, yeah, I think there is a potential here to reach a bottom level to where Americans are saying, wait a second, this corruption is too deep. And if we get more and more information out and you see the corruption and the levels of influence that actually shaped the outcome of the 2020 election, you may see a big pushback.
Well, you may, but I think that what's going to happen is it's going to be very obvious, because some of the problems out there right now are very obvious, although people are not taking them seriously at this moment in time. The violence in the streets in most of our major cities, and starting in some of the smaller cities, I think people are getting fed up with that, totally fed up with that. And I think that's going to hurt Biden, no question. I think
homelessness, the border, the violence,
it goes on,
international
on and
foreign
on.
Policy issues, spending money on Ukraine, the potential conflict with China. These are all going to have very, very damaging and bad effects on trust and faith in this administration to continue.
You mean Biden?
On the Biden administration.
Right. Yeah. I have to tell you, Jimmy, I think you're right 100%. And I think that's going to be the bulwark mark of what's going on, what will go on in the primaries. And I think that, if anything else, if people really stop and think, kill Joe Biden, be right back. You know, Jimmy, something we haven't talked about for a while on our show is some of the things that are going on the international scale. You know, it's easy to spend a lot of time right now for me, though, just talking about American politics, because they are so, so crazy right now. But, you know, you really can't leave out things like what's going on in Afghanistan right now.
Yeah, so the Taliban has total control. They've basically pushed women out of any education process after the age of about 10. They are bankrupt. It's still a very violent, controlled civilization. Of course, this is all the result of a 20-year effort by the United States to stabilize it, to push out foreign terrorists, and then to turn around and walk away from it very quickly. What we saw this last, you know, the last week and a half was a very interesting maneuver by the Biden regime and the Biden White House. They came out with a review, a handful of pages on what they said were the reasons for the withdrawal. And when in that review, the White House, the Biden regime with national security advisors came out and basically said, hey, they were constrained to take actions because of the Trump negotiations with the Taliban and the withdrawals that the Trump administration had done to that point. And so they were unable to stabilize the situation based on those premises. And I'm going to say that was a cover-up operation that they knew they had to do because a few days later, the special oversight IG, the Inspector General for Afghanistan operations, published a report that absolutely lambasted the Biden administration for failures with administration policy, with confusion, and with a complete failure of to defend and protect the U.S. interests, but also that created a humanitarian catastrophe. The report was brutal, but again, the White House had put out this report prior to that to deflect away from the upcoming report from the IG. And sadly, the media has not really reported much on the IG report from the Biden withdrawal, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Well, let's talk about why that's sad, simply because it's kind of bad for both entities, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, look, you know, we spent 20 years there, and once we were in, okay, yeah, we needed to change the direction. We need to withdraw. There's no question about it. But we could have done it in a very smart way. Uh-huh. And it was under the Trump administration, they had a conditions-based withdrawal plan. So the White House report had stated that the Taliban had controlled 51% of the country and was the strongest position it had been since the 2001 invasion. Well, that is an absolute lie because under the Obama administration, the Taliban had retaken about 60 to 70% of Afghanistan. Now, the Obama administration had a set of policies in place that the Trump administration inherited, and they were not constrained by the previous administration. In fact, Trump increased troops to Afghanistan, stabilized it, and by the time he left office, we had gone nearly 18 months or at least over a year without a U.S. casualty. However, with the Trump administration, and I operated in Afghanistan while he was in charge, we had very strict rules on what we could and could not do. And the only time that the Afghan government needed our support was when they were in a very serious situation and we could provide reinforcements or soldiers that would back them up. But we did not engage with the Taliban. That did not require a large footprint and could have been transitioned from a combat operation to a security assistance operation. And I will tell you, we've had security assistance offices in many, many countries for decades that provide support to maintain a government's ability to defend itself. That was an easy solution that the Trump administration could have taken. And if the Taliban had been breaking the rules and the conditions of the ceasefires and the withdrawal agreements, then we could have acted. But the Biden administration chose not to act against the Taliban and, in fact, stopped talking to the Afghan government and only talked to the Taliban. So that was a disastrous set of decisions. And it created the conditions and left many, many, I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of allies that had been operating with the U.S. and other partners in Afghanistan and left them hanging with no direction, including other foreign forces that had been fighting alongside with us for two decades.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole lot of mismanagement going on right now in a whole lot of areas. Like to talk about some of that mismanagement, but I don't think, with the context of what we're doing today, that's probably a very good idea. maybe do it in one of the next daily editorials, because there is some mismanagement going on. And well, go ahead.
No, I think we ought to talk a little bit about lack of strategy in Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, what the failures in Afghanistan are going to be repeated in Ukraine without some sort of a sophisticated view of how we want an end state to that conflict.
Yeah.
And pouring more money and pouring more equipment into it is not going to bring peace. Right now we're seeing some success by Ukrainian forces in defending on those front lines where the Russians had tried really for two and a half months offensive operations. They'd made very little headway. And I'm sure, and I see a lot of evidence, that the Ukrainians will begin a very sophisticated counteroffensive operation once again. And you're going to see a lot of casualties on both sides, and you're going to see a real failure by the international community and the Biden administration to come up with a solution from the conflict as we just pour more money into it. And I don't think a destabilized Russia is a good outcome. I don't think a Russian in complete control or of the Ukrainian eastern areas is a good outcome. But there are potential negotiated ways to get out of this, but I see no strategy that would be supporting that. This is very different from past international operations or support for what happened in the Balkans or even in Iraq or Afghanistan, for that matter. There were people that came up with different strategies to stabilize and to stop the conflict. There were players that didn't ever want to stop the conflict, and I understand that. But in this case, the Russians are probably looking for an opportunity to stop the bloodshed themselves. And so there is an opportunity for some discussion. I'm not a Russian. I love the Russian people. The policies that Putin has put forward are absolutely devastating to the people of Ukraine and of Russia. There needs to be some alternatives from what's happening right now. And I see nothing from this administration that shows any sophisticated view of how to approach this.
Jim, why do you think that's happening? I mean, I have to believe that Biden has got to be thinking about that a lot. And I have to believe that he's got to be looking for somebody who can fill that post. Doesn't look like he is, though, does it?
No, it doesn't look like it at all. And I really don't think he's aware or paying much attention. I think what happens is different people are giving him different papers, and they're actually probably like your grandfather when he's very, very sick. You're just kind of kowtowing and pretending to you don't want to offend him, so they're going to give him a paper, and they're making decisions about his future without actually even talking to him. And I think that's what's happening in America right now, and I think what's happening in foreign policy, and it's devastating around the world.
Right now, well, I want to make one final comment here, and that is some of these things that are going on an international level right now are certainly important, and don't take this the wrong way, but I think what's going on in America is significantly worse. I mean, France, basically with the direction that they're now going, is actually a very detrimental action to the United States. The United States needs to do more than clean up its act. The United States needs to take a world leadership position again, and I don't think they can do it under Biden, Jimmy.
Closing. No, I don't think so.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.